We're talking about prayer, what it is, or what is it? Prayer. What is prayer? How do you feel about prayer? What do you think prayer is? And so I'm going to give you a lot of questions tonight, and we're going to talk about this subject and look at, and how many knows this? It really doesn't matter what we think about prayer. It's what the Bible says about prayer. That is the important thing. And I've been in church for a lot of years, ever since I was a small boy. And so for more than 50 years, I've heard people praying. I've heard a lot of things about prayer. I've heard some things that were unscriptural prayers. And tonight, I'm going to do my best not to get on your particular case, but we're going to talk about prayer and uncover some things and how we should be looking at prayer. So let's look at 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. And it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him." We're talking about God here. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions or the requests that we have asked of Him. So, how do you go about praying? A lot of people don't know how to pray, but they know how to talk to God. What if that's just one and the same? Well, what should the content of our prayers be like? So let's look at this same passage of Scripture from the New Living Translation. Then we'll look at it from the Amplified. And then we're going to look at a whole lot of other Scriptures tonight, which won't take too long. But let's see what it says. The New Living Translation says, "And we can be confident that He will listen to whatever we ask Him for, anything in line with His will." So specifically, the Scriptures are saying that we should ask in line with His will, and we can be confident that He will listen to what we're saying. Verse 15 says, "And if we know that He is listening when we make our request, we can be sure that He will give us what we ask for." So how many know it would be great every time you ask God for something that you know you're going to get it? Well, you know that's a true statement as long as you pray according to the Word of God or His will. The Amplified says, "And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request, according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to and hears us. And if, since we positively," and I think I added that in there, "know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the request made of Him." So notice again from the first verse we read, this is the confidence that we have in Him. This is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness. Now, the simplest way to look at prayer, and I heard this many years ago, and I think it's in your notes, it says, and someone said this, prayer is simply communication between two people in love. How many know that sometimes we talk to people a certain way, but when we love someone, we talk to them differently? Okay, there's kind of a romantic air to how we talk. Well, we see that in our humanness. We see that in the natural life, but it's important that we also see that with God, that when we communicate with God, it needs to be because we understand that He loves us and we love Him. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of God." Now, why is that so important? It says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And so we have the privilege of boldly coming to God, which means this. We are not to come to God begging. We're not to come to God feeling like we're just unworthy, no goods. It doesn't matter what we ask God. God's never going to grant it. Some people have that attitude. But the Bible says that we're to come boldly before the throne of grace. It is a throne of grace. And the reason we're to come boldly, why should we come boldly? Well, because we're sons and daughters of God. And so I know this is true, that maybe in your house, with your parents, maybe you didn't go to their house and raid the refrigerator because mom or dad might get upset. You didn't live there anymore. Well, some parents feel that way, but did you know there are some parents that no matter how old their children are, they can come to their house and get in the ice box or get in the cabinet and don't feel a bit of shame about that and don't feel like they're going to get scolded for doing it? Well, you understand that's how God feels about us. And so we're to come boldly before His throne. And the Bible says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So when we have a need And even when we don't, and I'll show you some other scriptures, we are to come boldly before Him. So this is a privilege that we have, a privilege of boldness. You ever been kind of meek and mild, but you've had them episodes where you just got real bold with individuals? You know, you can come to God boldly. You can talk to God boldly and speak and declare His Word. Now, it's important for us to exercise this boldness because it's God-given boldness. So God gave us this boldness so we can speak certain things. But it's the content of what we speak that's important. This boldness only accompanies us speaking His Word. So I can tell you this, that, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because I got some really important things to tell you tonight, that we should do it with confidence. If you were to go to God and you had a real need and you decided in your own mind that before you asked God, you already knew you wasn't going to get it. I mean, that's not praying in confidence. If you already know, no matter what I ask God, I'm never going to get what I want. The truth is, that's not confidence, and the Scripture says that we can be confident. Now, again, 1 John 5:14 said, this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So there is a prerequisite in asking, and that's that we must ask according to God's will. So how do we know what God's will is? Well, we know that the Word of God is the will of God. Anybody ever had a relative that was deceased and you had to go to a reading of the will, and they called it the last will and testament of so-and-so? This is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. And it's the old will and the new will, and this is God's will. And so when you read the will of God, let's just say it this way. When you read the will of a relative, a deceased relative, you read it, and or the attorney reads it, and they're telling you what you're going to get out of the deal, and you actually believe the attorney. If it says right there, this is what you're going to get, you believe the attorney. Do you know what keeps us from getting the things that God has promised us? It's that we believe the attorney more than we believe God. And so we need to learn that this is God's will for us, and when we read it, we can believe what it says. Now, the Scripture says that we're to pray boldly, and or say what the Bible says boldly. But here's some things we're not to say. We're not to pray our thoughts. We're not to pray our boo-hoos. By the way, I looked up boo-hoos on the internet today, and it talks about that which is the imitation of the sound of someone crying or sobbing. And so we go to God crying and sobbing with boo-hoos. It's not that we don't all get there sometimes, but in general, times of prayer, it's just the sound of someone crying or sobbing. But the Scriptures doesn't say that those are the kind of prayers God hears. The Bible says that God hears our prayers when we pray according to His will. So to pray according to His will, you got to know His will. It's like when the Bible says that we're healed by the stripes of Jesus. How many know if you don't believe you're healed by the stripes of Jesus, then that may not apply to you. It still belongs to you. It's still the Word of God to you, but the truth is, you got to believe what the will of God says. Also, know this. If God hears our prayers when we pray according to His will, what about when we pray prayers that are not according to His will? Can I tell you what happens? The devil hears them. The devil moves in on prayers that are not according to God's will. The Scriptures teach us, and I didn't put this in my notes tonight, but the Scriptures teach us that angels stand ready to move on every word that God speaks. And that's in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms. But in the New Testament, in Hebrews, it tells us that angels are the ministers for the heirs of salvation. That's us. So angels move on every word we speak when our words are in line with God's word. But when our words are not in line with God's word, all demons stand ready to go to work on those. So in the spirit world, it's a dimension, a parallel dimension to the natural dimension that you see with your eyes, hear with your ears, touch, taste, smell, and so on. There's a parallel dimension called the world of the spirit, and in that world there are demons and there are angels, and they're both standing ready to move on words that are spoken. Angels move on words that are in line with God's word. Demons move on words that are not in line with God's word. So we can be confident that God hears our prayers only if we pray according to His word. Now let me tell you, I remember as a young man, after Faye and I got married, I remember being in prayer meetings where there was a room full of men. We had men's prayer meetings and we had women's prayer meetings, and sometimes that's okay, and sometimes a regular intercessory prayer group is, and I'll explain that shortly. But I remember a whole group of men getting loudly praying, so you really couldn't hear each other, which was okay then. But everybody was praying. Everybody was crying out to God. There was probably a lot of boo-hooing. There was probably a lot of begging and pleading with God. But God doesn't hear those kind of prayers. He hears prayers in line with His Word. Now, here's what I personally believe. Personally, I do not believe in religious praise. Someone said, God don't hear your prayers unless you kneel on your knees. Some of us don't do well kneeling on our knees, okay? So does that mean God can never hear our prayers? If we fit the mode of religious criteria, then that format, then there are certain things that would exclude other people. So no, it does not mean that God doesn't hear our prayers. But I do think what religious praying is someone that goes through the motions of prayer. They sound like they're praying. They look like they're praying, but... And they walk away from that feeling like, I've done something really special because I spent all this time doing it. I just spent an hour praying, and so therefore, it's really cool. Well, you know, it's not so much how much time you spend, it's the content of what you're saying when you pray. Before we're done tonight, I hope we can get that far in this, I'm going to show you some prayers that are in the Bible, in the New Testament, that we can actually pray. When you pray religious prayers, you walk away with a feeling of self-accomplishment, based on your own actions, saying, look what I've done. But for me, prayer is calling on God based on His Word and His Word alone. So if you want to see a change in your life, and isn't that why we pray? Isn't that why we stay in the Word, why we call on God? Because we want to see some things change. I prophesied on Facebook this year that 2012... you say, can you prophesy on Facebook? You can prophesy every chance you get if you're moved by the Holy Spirit. I prophesied that 2012 was the year of change. That doesn't mean somebody that's sick is going to get sicker. That's not what that means. Somebody that's already having a financial struggle is going to get worse for them. But what that meant, and I explained it as I was speaking that on Facebook, is that there's going to be a change in circumstances for the better. I believe that in 2012, people that are believing God, this is not for everybody. This is for those that are believing God. Can God supernaturally do something for me, even though I may not be believing Him to do it? Well, let me just say that God's God, and God, when God does things like that, they're called miracles. And God can do miracles. But for the most part, this prophetic word had to do with people who are believing God. So if you've been standing in faith, how many know we've been standing in faith for our church? Not just for 2 weeks, not for 2.5 weeks, but for the entire 4 years that we've been in operation, and even for all of our ministry, we have had visions and dreams and believed God for where we are right now. And so when we pray things and we're standing in faith, I believe that in 2012, we're going to see a manifestation of the things we've been believing for. If you've been believing for your health, you've been calling out to God every day, crying out to God, Father, I believe you. I thank you for your word. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And when we do that, and remind me, Faye, to pray for Vicky before we're done. When we do that, God will honor our standing in faith. Now, what I believe about prayer is that if you want to see change in your life, and also we should not limit our prayers to our lives. If you want to see change in your church, change in your community, change in this world. Some people don't believe this world's going to change. Well, there are some things about this world, its system of operation, that is on the decline, and scriptures talk about that prophetically. But if we want to see things change for the better, then you can't make up prayers, okay? We need to forget that making up prayers filled with substance created from anything other than the Word of God. And what that means is not from our emotions, not from our circumstances, but from God's Word. Did you know people pray prayers based on their emotions? People pray prayers based on their circumstances. And all the time, demons are set and ready to go ahead and move in on that if it's not the Word of God. But the thing that moves God and moves the angels of heaven is when we pray and speak according to the Word of God. Jeremiah 1:12 says, "For you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my Word." So how many know that when you go home tonight and you pray the Word of God, you don't have to go to sleep worrying about whether the Word of God's going to come to pass or not? Why? It's not your job to bring it to pass. It's your job to speak it, to proclaim it. But God is standing ready to perform His Word. I believe He's got angels standing ready to perform His Word. But what moves angels and moves God? It is His Word that is watching over. And so God watches over His Word, standing ready to perform His Word, only His Word, if someone dares to speak it. And I would encourage you to do this. Never just speak the Word one day and then forget about it for the rest of the year. Do it every day. If you can't do it every day, try to do it every other day. But as often as possible, speak the Word. Now, here's a statement that I added to my notes just this morning. Someone said this, and I have their name, but I don't know them, and so I just made it anonymous. But they said, there has never been a spiritual awakening that has not begun in prayer, and no such movement has continued once prayer has declined. And so I know this, God's up to something good, and that can be birthed in prayer. Now I want to go over five things with you, five questions, five objects of discussion. And we'll talk about these and then just lay out some things about prayer and then end tonight with some prayers that the apostles prayed and that we can adopt as our own prayers. Number one, what is prayer? Well, again, prayer is different for a lot of people, but it really doesn't matter how much difference it is for different people. It's whether it lines up to the Word of God or not. So what is prayer? 1 John 5:14 again said, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So, therefore, prayer is praying according to the will of God. So, any prayer that you are praying, if you're setting, here's what I suggest. If you're praying and you really are not sure of some things to pray, get your Bible, put it in your lap, and keep it with you while you're praying. And, you know, a scripture may pop up. I had a scripture pop up just this evening, and I didn't have time to look it up. But it's where in the, I think it's in Isaiah, that said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. Now, that has been misstated or miswritten as far as punctuation goes, because it says when the enemy comes in like a flood. Actually, it should read when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Now, how do you suppose God does that? Just because God's having a good day and God wants to do it for us? He's waiting on us to speak His Word. And as we speak the Word, you can be confident that God will do His part. Alright, now, let me just say this. You cannot be confident in prayers that do not line up to God's will. So it doesn't matter how much you pray. If you pray an hour a day, 2 hours a day, we had a young man in our church many years ago in the state of California that prayed 4 and 5 hours a day, come to the church and prayed 4 hours at a time, and just a prayer warrior, and he'd also go out on the streets and get on a street corner and preach to people about Jesus, and so he's just a very powerful and bold young man. But it doesn't matter how much you pray and how great your prayers sound if you can't be confident in any prayer that doesn't line up to the Word of God. Now, here's the thing about prayers that don't line up to the Word of God. What they are is prayers that are opposite of the will of God. So, if you were to pray and say, God, you know how sick I am. You know how bad it is. I just don't know that it's ever going to get any better. I just wish you'd just take me home. Just get it over with. Just kill me and let me go home. You say, well, people don't pray those kind of prayers. Yeah, Moses, when he had a few million people complaining about, took them out of Egypt's bondage, and they're on their way to the promised land, which Moses never got there. But in doing that, there was a time where Moses said, these people are complaining and griping, and Lord, why don't you just kill me and get it over with? And, of course, God spoke to him, and he got his act straightened up. And, you know, maybe pastors pray that way. I don't pray that way, but maybe pastors do. The point is, we need to watch what we're praying. We need to pray, Father, doesn't really make any difference where I'm at right now. Matter of fact, I've prayed similar prayers even today and days prior and said, you know, you don't look healed, you don't feel healed, but here's the truth. God says you're healed, so I'm agreeing with God and not agreeing with what I'm seeing. You ever done that? You ever looked at something and it just, you know, I remember when we were praying for Debbie, who had what's the curvature of the spine thing? Scoliosis. And had Paul lay his hand on her back. And Paul laid his hand on her back, and her spine straightened out. And then he was standing over here, and his finger was crooked. It wasn't before. And somebody just, I think, it was, I don't know if it was me or somebody else, just touched it, and all of a sudden his finger straightened up. From praying on her, I don't know how that happens, but praying her, his finger went crooked, and then it was touched and straightened up. And so we need to, even though we look at some things that we get a medical report on, you can be moved by a medical report. I don't advise it. Like I said, the man in Dr. Allison's church that went to the doctor and was, and the doctor said, you have cancer, he said, thank you for your opinion. You say, well, I never talked to my doctor that way. Well, you may not, but when you leave there, you need to declare the word of God. All right, let's look at another aspect of prayer. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, and then later we'll look at more verses in 1 Timothy 2. It says, therefore I exhort first of all, that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And I may have moved this to another section, but let's go ahead and look at this here. We are instructed here to pray for all people. So how can I pray for all people? Because how many of you know everybody? I think there's, what, 6 billion people in the world? How many of you know all 6 billion? Okay, do you know the Holy Spirit knows all 6 billion? In that 6 billion, there's a lot of heathens. There's a lot of true believers. And there's a lot of so-called believers. There's Satan worshipers, there's Muslims, there's Hindus, there's Buddhists, the categories can go on and on and on and on, and God knows them all. God knows them all. And so, how many know that if God says, pray for all people, then how many know God's smarter than us? How many ever thought there was somebody that you'd never pray for? How many ever thought there was a religion maybe you'd never pray for? God says pray for all people. So should we take our own person? This is what I'm talking about concerning prayer. If some people have their own idea of prayer and stick to their own idea, but it has nothing to do with the Word of God. Even Christians, even charismatic Word of Faith churches that have intercessory prayer groups have their own idea how prayer ought to be and don't consider what the Word of God tells us. And so if the Bible tells us that we are to pray for all men, then how many know we ought to pray for all people? All right, so that's what an intercessory prayer group is like. And like I said, we will be forming an intercessory prayer group, but first we want to know how to pray. I picked up Kenneth Hagin's training manual on prayer while we were at the lake the other day, last week, and we will be going through that. We may make some copies, or we may order them for everybody. I don't know yet. But so let's look at this. He said, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Supplications, I'm just giving you some very, very condensed meanings of these words. Supplications has to do with petitions. The prayer petition is asking God, God, I am $25 short on groceries. It's 5 days till payday, and I'm asking you to meet my need. That's the prayer petition. Second, prayers, it would, some people interpret this as just general prayers. That's not what it is. That's worship. And so, you know, do you know that you can worship God when you're praying? Worship is part of intercession. All right, number three is intercessions. Intercessions, literally in the Greek, means an interview, as in specific requests. So how many knows you can go to God and pray a prayer petition for yourself, but how many know there might be prayer needs in the congregation? We might actually have to take a dry erase board and write prayer needs on the wall. Pray for our government. Pray for our representative. We're about to have an election again. Pray for our local representatives. Pray for our sister Sally. She's got a cancer on her leg or whatever. And so we get real specific and we go to God with this almost an interview type attitude. And how many know that God can speak to you and give you revelation about how to pray? I talked with Kenneth Copeland Ministries this morning, and they're praying for our church. We're partners with them. Our churches, and Faye and I personally are partners with them. And they are in prayer for our church. And when this prayer partner began to pray, there was things I didn't tell that she began to get specific with. And so the Holy Spirit laid it out as she interceded. Number four, giving of thanks. How can giving of thanks be part of prayer? Well, this is something we're going to learn more down the road. But I've shared this with you before, but I didn't realize how long I had had this in some studies I had done. It talks about gratitude. How many know you ought to actually have a grateful heart when you're talking to God? I'm going to tell you, if you're just getting real snotty and hateful with God, don't be doing that, okay? God's not hearing that kind of prayer. Remember what I told you earlier? When you go to God with, and I don't want to lose my place, but when you go to God with you're praying your own thoughts or praying your boo-hoos, boo-hoos meaning the imitation of the sound of someone crying or sobbing, that's not the kind of prayer that God hears. God hears prayers that are prayed in faith. What is our faith based on? Well, Grandma Susie had an experience with God. She saw a dream. She had a vision, and that must be the gospel because she had it, and she was a really dear old saint. And you know, what's that got to do with if it's not in line with the Word of God? And so many people have based what they believe based on some dead relative's experience with God that had nothing to do with Scripture. I'm talking about praying the Word of God, not talking about praying our own concept of prayer. Giving of thanks, gratitude, actually grateful language to God as an act of worship. This is what you'll find in your Strong's Concordance. And so it's important that we use actual grateful language. And someone said one time, why should I use actual grateful language? Why can't I just make up my own language? I'm giving you the criteria for prayer, and the Scripture said these are the kind of prayers that ought to be prayed for all men or all people. Number two, what is God's will? Since we have learned in Scripture that we're to pray God's will. Well, let me show you something here in Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed, and I've added some Greek definitions for you. Do not be conformed to fashion alike, conform to the same pattern, conform to, fashion self according to this world. How many knows we're not to be like this world? The Apostle Paul told one of the disciples in training, said, to come out from among them and be separate. He didn't say come out from among the world and hate the world. God doesn't hate the world. We're to love the world. But he tells us that we're to come out from among them. So we're not to be fashioned like the world. How many know being fashioned like the world doesn't mean that you can't put on shorts and a tank top and look like some heathen sinner out there that's wearing shorts and tank top? You know, that's not what that means. But our mannerisms, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we do business, being people of integrity above all. Someone said one time, do you want me to be honest with you? No, I said, no, I want you to lie to me. Of course I want you to be honest. Honesty is not the best policy. Honesty is the only policy. For a believer, always be honest, always tell the truth. Don't act like the world system dictates that we ought to act like. All right, he said, but be transformed. To transform, it means to literally or figuratively metamorphose, to change, transfigure, transform by the renewing of your mind. This word renewing has been translated as a lot of things, but I want to tell you it means to renovate or a renovation of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, coming from not only a ministry background, but also a construction background, I've done some remodels, and when you go in to renovate a house, for example, let's just take one room, for example, one small bedroom. When you go in to renovate it, here's what you do. You pull the walls off, all the sheetrock off the walls, all the insulation out, all the wiring out. You do the same to the ceiling. You take the carpet up, the flooring up, you take it down to the bare bones, okay? And you start all over again. That's what renovate is. And so how many know that it's only God that can really do that kind of a work in our mind? But the work that we're to do is to get in the Word and renew our minds. The Bible tells us to renew our minds. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. So the will of God continues to be revealed in your life as you continue to change or transform. Some people believe we don't need to change. How many believe that we should change? I mean, this whole Christian process is about change. And the Scriptures, and I didn't use this, but we should have, the Scriptures tell us to be conformed, that God's intent is for us to be conformed to the image of His dear Son, of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do you think is going to happen when true believers, and I'm going to use that phrase tonight, true believers actually stay in the Word, continue to change, continue to be transformed, and there's a whole bunch of little Jesuses walking around the earth. You say, well, that's not right. Well, sure, that's right. That's exactly. God said we're to be transformed into the image of His Son. And so that doesn't mean we're going to all have beards and long hair and walk around in robes and sandals. But what that means is we're going to act like Jesus, we're going to talk like Jesus, and we're going to do like Jesus. And we'll talk about that tonight, because it's the will of God for us to talk like Jesus. How many know that if we're not talking like Jesus, we're saying the wrong stuff? Okay? So how many know that when we have episodes of stress or anxiety, and anger begins to mount, and you know the first thing that happens to people when they get in that place? Your mouth starts shooting off. All right? Let me tell you something. We need to be transformed by the Word. That is a sign of not being in the Word. And, you know, I tell you, I am adamant about being in the Word every day. Some people don't believe you need the Word. You know, David said, I hid your Word in my heart that I might not sin against God. How often do you think David put the Word in his heart? Continuously. And so I can't tell you, someone said, well, I'm just too busy for the Word. Can I just say this? I don't care what you're doing, what your responsibilities are. If you're too busy for the Word, you're just too busy. Get something out of the way. Drop something and get in the Word, because the Word will change your life. The Word is life to your flesh and same to your mind. All right, so it's not just talking like God, but we're to think like God. And you can't think like God unless you know what He thinks. Okay, so this Word is filled with God, what God thinks. And then there's another thing we need to do, and that's act like God or do like God. The Bible tells us that we're not just to be a hearer of the Word, but to be a doer of the Word. So to do the Word, then we must know what's in this book. Now, let me just say this, because I really want to impact you and challenge you tonight with this Word. I really felt God. I had several things I wanted to teach tonight, not going which direction. And we'll get back to healing school. Just give us a little adjustment time. But let me just say this. It is not the will of God for us to talk like, think like, and act like the world, because that would be the same as talking, thinking, and acting like the devil. Anything that is not like God, there's only one other source or one other power. And so, folks, let me just say this. If we are going to see this church become what God has prophetically said that it's supposed to become, let's control our mouths, let's control our thoughts, and let's control our actions. Be the representative of God that we need to be. I know that I upset some people when I talk, or I have upset some people when I talk about some things we need to do. But the Bible is filled with things we need to do, and we're going to hear more about the things that God has told us to do. Now, there was this part of the Scripture that you saw there, and we'll move on to something else in just a moment. But it said at the end there that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When I was growing up, I was told there is, God has two wills. God has the perfect will, and God has His permissible or allowable will. In other words, here's God's perfect will, but God will let you get away with a lot of stuff. Well, God will let you get, I mean, you can do what you want to, but please understand this, God doesn't have a perfect will and an allowable will. God has one will. And I want you to see this in Scripture tonight, because it's very clear here. He says that we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove. What are we proving? We're proving by getting our minds changed, that'll control our talk and our actions, what that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. So let me just say this, God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. That's all God's will is. God's will is not two different wills. It is good, acceptable, and perfect. And I told you earlier that the Bible is the last will and testament of the Lord, and we can count on it. It consists of an old will and a new will. And the difference between the old and the new is just simply this. The new is based on better promises. So there was some promises in the old, but in the new we got some better promises. Well, let's look at these two verses of Scripture in Hebrews 8. Verse 6 and 7 says, now He has obtained, talking about Jesus, a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as He is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Now, what is the more excellent ministry that Jesus received? Jesus became the high priest of the new covenant. Did you know this? Here's a reason why we give offerings. And I'm listening to a CD series right now on Hebrews 7 verse 8 that says that there men, here men receive tithes, but there he receives them, and it testifies that he lives. It is talking about the tithe. The tithe, our tithing, our act of tithing, it's a testimony that God, that Jesus lives. Well, know this, that every priest, every high priest throughout the Bible always was honored in giving. And so we give to our faithful high priest. That's why we give. We're not given to Bill and Faye Hanshue. We're not given to Worship and Word Fellowship. That might be who we make our checks out to. But we are giving to Jesus, our faithful high priest. You ever heard someone get mad, leave a church and get mad and say, well, I gave that preacher all my money. I gave that church all my money, and this is how they treat me. It's not about that. I've been told that lately. Look how much money we give. It's not about that. Did you give it to Jesus, your high priest, or did you give it to a man? Because if you give it to a man, you get the reward of that man, which doesn't amount to anything. When you give it to Jesus, you get the reward of the faithful high priest. And so I just thought I'd throw that in. All right, look at Hebrews 7 verse 8. For if that first covenant had been faultless, had been perfect, then no place would have been sought for a second. So there was a reason why God brought us a new covenant, a covenant that's based on better promises, a covenant that is better for us because there was some faults in the first. All right, let's go on to number three. Why pray? I mean, people have asked that question before. I've heard people ask it. Why should I pray? What's the point? And I've heard people say that. What's the point? I've heard people say, why believe God? What's the point? Right? Why read the Bible? What's the point? Well, 1 John 5, verse 15, we've been looking at verse 14 all evening, but verse 15 says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, look at the first statement here. If we know that he hears us. Now, we have established how we know God hears our prayers. How is it that we know God hears our prayers? Praying his word. Okay, if you pray the word, you know God hears that. So again, if you do not pray the word, then you can't be confident that God hears that, but some demon somewhere is picking up on that negative word, and he is going to town with it. You know, a lot of times why people's sicknesses are prolonged and even get worse is because the words that are coming out of our mouth. Well, you mean my words have the power to bring healing to my body when they're in line with God's word? Absolutely. Amen. All right. Now, someone asked me recently, and not that I'm all that thrilled about this being on the CD, but someone asked me recently, had known that about my foot and my toe, and you know how it was doing. Well, it's doing great. I'm not limping or anything, but I've been watching my toe. But you know what I've been doing? I've been pointing to my toe and laying hands on my foot and saying, "You don't look healed. You don't feel healed because sometimes it hurts and you're swollen, but that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says you are healed by the stripes of Jesus, and I'm not agreeing with you, but I'm agreeing with God's Word, and I've watched the swelling go down. Is it all the way done yet? No, but I've watched it go down. Why? I refuse to agree with what I see, okay? Same thing with this ministry. We are impacting the world. Some people feel like, well, it's not me, it's just that preacher over there. Well, you're a part of it, okay? God calls pastors to cities. God calls preachers to churches, just like God calls people to churches, okay? There are people that believe that, hey, I'll just leave whenever I want to because I'm not called there. I can just move off any time. Well, that may be true with some, but I don't have time to get into this, but did you know that we do not have the right to transplant ourselves somewhere else? I can show you in the Scriptures that only the Holy Spirit has that job. And so He can move us to another place to be a blessing to another ministry, but doesn't move us out because we're disgruntled. Okay, that's not an act of the Holy Spirit. So if we know He hears our prayers, we've already established that how we know He hears our prayers is praying the Word. Then the Scripture says, whatever we ask. Now think about that, because I had God ask me one time, what do you want? I heard the Holy Spirit ask me that many years ago, what do you want? And when I didn't answer Him, about 15 minutes or so, I think it was, He asked me again, but He asked different. He said, son, what do you want? And I told Him. So if we know we prayed the word, then whatever we ask, we also can know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. The King James says, the original King James says, that we know that we have the petitions we desired of him, which is a past tense expression. So when did what I prayed for, now think about this, you have a physical need. Let's just take it real simple and say you have a headache. Anybody ever had migraines? Okay. All right. Here's how you deal with that. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says that I can have confidence that if I pray according to your will, your word, that you hear my prayer. And Lord, your word says that if I know that you hear my prayer, whatever I ask, and I'm asking for healing for this migraine, that they will not only go away now, but that they will never ever come back again. I know right then and there that I prayed and I have what I desired of him. Desired now becomes past tense. Why? I prayed in faith. There's another scripture that could go along with that from Mark 11, 24 that says, what things, I'll just do a little old King James on it, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. So how do I get them? I believed I already received it. Because that doesn't make any natural sense. I agree. But it just makes a whole lot of word sense. And so we pray according to the word of God, and therefore our petition now becomes past tense. So what do we do once our petition becomes past tense? Well, what we do then is we begin to every day say thank you, Lord, for no more migraines. I remember Dr. Fred Price sharing a testimony in the Word edition of a Bible where he put a commentary in there, and he told the story of how he believed God for a pair of shoes. And you say, well, that's really foolish. I'll just wait till I got extra money and I'll buy a pair of shoes. Well, what if you just keep never having money for a pair of shoes? Did you know you can believe in a pair of shoes? And so back before when he had a really, he pastors over 10,000 people today or something like that. But back when he was just starting out, he said, Father, I'm asking you for a pair of shoes. I'm believing you. Told him what kind he wanted. And so day two come, didn't have the pair of shoes. But he said, Father, I thank you for my new pair of shoes. It was past tense. Just like you already had them, he thanked God. It's like taking a Bible and saying, thank you for my new Bible, but your hands are empty. Okay? And day two, he said, Father, I thank you for my new pair of shoes. And day three, just he'd done that daily, thanking God in the past tense for something that he believed was already done. And do you know that eventually his new pair of shoes arrived? And so he learned to believe God based on the scriptures that I have read to you tonight. Now, let's go on to... Oh, Mark 11:24 actually was in there. That's there for you. But now look at that. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. In your notes, I think I capitalized, because I know it's in my notes, capitalize, you ask, when you pray, you receive, you will have them. You believe that you receive something based on the Word of God, it now becomes past tense and you receive it. What I wanted to show you was the word pray, when you pray, in the Greek language. It means to pray to God, to supplicate, meaning to make a petition or a request. That's what you do. I'm asking you for this, Father. It means to worship. It means to pray earnestly. It means to pray sincerely. It means to pray seriously. It means to make prayer. All right, so to pray seriously for something. So prayer is serious. Prayer should be filled with sincerity, but also with worship. And so it's important that we keep those things in mind. It's important that you get the CD when it comes out and that you continue to study these notes, and they will guide you in prayer. All right, number four, how important is prayer? We asked, why pray? But let's look a little deeper into this issue. How important is prayer? Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, likewise the Spirit, capital S here meaning Holy Spirit, likewise the Holy Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should ask for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. The original text, some believe that for us is omitted, and it would say then that the Holy Spirit makes intercession with groanings, and keep in mind that he's not doing it for us as in he's doing all the praying. Now, I'll show you about this in just a moment. With groanings means to continue, to covenant, to establish, to lay hold, to hold up, present, set up or stand. In other words, the position is not the issue. And I really think it's talking about the attitude of our heart when we pray. And so how many know some people, again, can pray religious prayers just because they think it's the thing to do, but God's looking at the attitude of our heart. And he says, the Holy Spirit will pray things that cannot be uttered. Verse 27 says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So Father God, who searches the hearts, He knows the mind of the Spirit, because He, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So asking how important prayer is here is like asking how important is it to breathe. How many know that it's very important, it's life-giving, it affects your continued quality of life. If you don't breathe, they will get a emergency responder, they will pump your heart, they'll put oxygen down you, they'll do everything they can to revive you. If you don't breathe, then you are in heaven. It's done, over with. Okay, so breathing is important. Well, I wanted you to just to say that little bit there about breathing, because the reality is that's how important prayer is. Prayer is a part of your daily life, or should be. So the plan, this plan of God for prayer, here it is. The Holy Spirit only prays according to the will of God or the Word of God. Now, the Bible said that we read in those scriptures said that the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. The word infirmity there is not talking about sickness, but it's talking about weakness, and that's a good translation. And what it means is there's times we don't know how to pray, so we need someone to help us. So the Bible calls the Holy Spirit our helper. If you read back in John, the book of John, chapter 14 and chapter 16, you will see that the Holy Spirit is, the Bible said that the helper, the other comforter, is on his way. Okay, so he is a helper. Here's what this word help means, since he helps our weaknesses or our infirmities in the King James. It means that he hooks, the word helper there in the Greek means to hook up together against. So what happens? Is it the Holy Spirit hooking up with us, or is it us hooking up with the Holy Spirit? Remember who the helper is. The Holy Spirit's the helper. Okay? So who's he helping? He's helping us. All right? So he is helping us. So what's he helping us do in this setting? He's helping us to pray. So he hooks up together with you. Now, here's how that works. If you're not praying anything, he's not praying anything, because you're leading the show. If you don't pray according to the Word, he's not praying with you. So if you're praying according to the Word, he will hook up together with you against whatever it is that's coming against you. So you got to be praying. Well, how many know that the best way to pray is in the Spirit? Now, some people say praying in the Spirit isn't for the church. Some people say that praying an intercessory prayer and everybody in a circle and praying isn't scriptural. I'm going to show you before we're done tonight that it is. All right? First of all, let's go back to 1 Timothy 2. And I want to once again look at, this is where it should have been in the first place. But it says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I highlighted it, and I don't know if it's underlined in yours, but I highlighted giving of thanks because I want you to see that in just a moment. Verse 2, we're to pray for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, or the King James says honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. How many of you desire to please the Lord? All right, now please know this. God's not displeased with you just because you are not perfect, but there are things God asks us to do. And I believe it pleases the Lord to do what he asks. Well, this says what he is asking us to do is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. All right, who is our Savior? The Lord Jesus Christ. So God here would be referring to the Lord Jesus. So Jesus is good and acceptable in the sight of the Lord Jesus. So what's he asking us to do? Well, again, he instructs us to pray for all people, which is an example of what prayer is. So in your home, if you don't have anything to do, here's what you can do. You can pray for all people. Well, what if I can't figure out what to pray for all people? Well, I'm going to give you some scriptures tonight to pray for all people, but I'm also going to tell you this. You can pray in tongues. Some people say, you know, it's really foolish to sit there and just pray in tongues. Si tolo borote kenamo kota lebeke. You know, we're watching TV sometimes, and I just do it under my breath. I do it loud enough, but not loud enough for her to hear me sometimes. Sometimes Faye tells me that I'm praying in tongues in my sleep. Why is that? My spirit man don't sleep, okay? And so many times I have woke her up, not intentionally, but praying in tongues in my sleep. So again, I have listed for you what prayer is, supplication, petition, worship, specific requests, actual grateful language to God as an act of worship. But he also tells us here that we are to pray for kings. How many know we don't have a king? There's been a lot on the news lately about the Queen over in England. And, of course, somewhere in there, there's a king, obviously, because there was a lot of princes and princesses. But the Bible says to pray for kings. Well, in our case, in the United States of America, we're to pray for presidents. How many of you ever had presidents you didn't agree with? We're not to badmouth our presidents, but let me just say this to you. We respect the office. You know, I've been in churches where I didn't really care for the pastor. I hope y'all care for the pastor. But I've been in churches where I didn't care for the pastor, but I respected the office that they stood in. I never disrespected a man of God at any time or place. But the Bible says we're to pray for kings or for presidents, and it also says all in authority. So why pray? What's the purpose? What's the use in praying? Well, the Bible says here in this passage that we may live, that we, all people, I thought of the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution of the United States. I thought of we the people. Which is that? That's the Declaration of Independence. We the people. I thought of we the people when I wrote this. That we the people may live or lead a quiet and peaceable life, and it says in all, in all godliness and reverence in the New King James. Did you know that quiet and peaceable is actually what the literal Greek says? Quiet and peaceable. It's not changed. The translation didn't change. And so that's why we pray for these people. How many know when the government's operating in a not so good way and you feel kind of miserable because of it, or if the city of Rolla is making decisions that's really bad decisions and you begin to feel all yucky and miserable because of it, that you don't have to feel that way? What the world system does not have to affect you. But what do we do about it? We pray. We intercede. You say, well, I don't have anything good to say about them. Then pray in tongues. Because the Holy Ghost does have some good things to say. Amen. And again, we found out that he only prays the will of God. All right, now, in Philippians 4:6, I want to add this verse to what I just read to you in 1 Timothy 2. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Anxiety, worry, fear. Be anxious for nothing. You could say, be worried about nothing. Be fearful about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So here the scriptures tell us not to be worried, not to be fretful, not to be fearful about anything in life. But in every situation we face, we are to pray. So how many know prayer is important? Okay? And he says, and supplication with thanksgiving. And that's how we're to let our requests be made known to God. So it does say, in everything in prayer. It doesn't mean, somebody said, you know, the scripture says give thanks in all things, and I believe that's true. But it doesn't mean if you just had your house burned down that you get out in front of them and say, thank you, Jesus, my house burned down. What that is stupidity, okay? That's not Bible. We're giving thanks to God in spite of bad things that happen. So if somebody's driving along the road, your car's parked out on the street, and somebody runs into your car, you don't run out and give thanks to God because your car got run into. You give thanks to God in spite of the fact your car got run into. If you have a broken bone, you don't say, thank you, Jesus, for a broken bone. No, that's not what that means. You give thanks to God because God is God, not because of a circumstance that happens in your life. All right, Colossians 4, verse 2 said, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. Vigilant in it with thanksgiving. All right, here's something we see here. He said to be earnest in prayer and to be vigilant in it. We need to be aggressive in it. The Bible said in Matthew, said the ever since the days of John the Baptist, that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What happened when John the Baptist come preaching? He come preaching Jesus Christ. Okay, that made the devil mad. All right, so, which we don't care about the devil being mad. But the Bible said we're to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it, and there's supposed to be some thanksgiving. All right, so I've given you three verses of scripture, 1 Timothy 2, Philippians 4, and Colossians 4, and there are three things, a common denominator in all three of these verses, and that is giving of thanks or thanksgiving. So our prayers need to be filled with giving of thanks and thanksgiving. All right, number five, let's talk about this. Is intercession the most important ministry in the church? I'll tell you when it becomes the most important ministry is when you have a whole bunch of intercessors, because they believe their ministry is more important. If you have a whole bunch of ushers, they believe their ministry is more important. If you have a big worship team, they believe their ministry is more important. And if you have a preacher preaching, the word, he believes his ministry is more important. Well, let me tell you why the word is the most important ministry in the church. Because the word teaches us how to pray. The word teaches us how to worship. The word teaches, it's not necessarily the preacher, but it's what the word contains. And so the word of God is our instruction for everything we do in church. The word of God teaches us how to fellowship. And I told you earlier that one thing, once we have some work days, we're planning on having a church dinner at least once a month and fellowship after Sunday morning service. Individual prayers, here's what happens with intercession. Individual prayers, it starts with individuals. How many know that intercessory prayer usually is a group of people? You have an intercessory prayer group. I often get calls over the last 4 years that say, would you put this on the prayer list? Well, I write it down and I pray for it. Would you send this to the prayer team? We haven't had a prayer team. I've been the prayer team. And so I just pray about it and call it done. And I never tell anybody we don't have a prayer team. Why am I going to discourage someone in need? I've been the prayer team. Sometimes I'll share with Faye or call her wherever she is. I might tell someone else sometimes. But prayer, intercessory prayer starts with an individual and another individual and another individual. And everybody's praying individual prayers, but they're praying the word. So let me make this statement to you. Individual prayers build up, support, and undergird your relationship with God in the form of communication. Once again, remember the statement I made in the beginning. Someone said prayer is simply communication between two people in love. I love Jesus. And I know that, and he knows that because we talk. Now, how many of you ever gone and just really had a really yucky week and you went a week without talking to the Lord? Don't do that. He doesn't deserve it because he didn't cause your bad week. How many of you ever went and just had a really bad day and you went a day without talking to the Lord? Don't do that. He wasn't the fault of your bad day. I can't go an hour without talking to the Lord. Matter of fact, I'd like to think I don't go a minute without talking to the Lord. I mean, we just spend a lot of time together, and I love it. It hasn't made me perfect, but it's made me better, okay? And that's what's important. All right, communication strengthens all relationships. So intercession is a supportive ministry in the church. Now let me share with you about supportive ministries. In a worship team, you have a lot of instruments, as we've seen in the past. Drums help keep beat. Okay, it's a supportive role, but it helps keep beat. You know what another supportive ministry on a worship team is? The bass guitar. The bass helps keep a rhythm and a beat. So it's in like that that an intercessory prayer team helps support what's going on in the rest of the church. But you know what else? As I continue, do you know I get prayer requests from all over the world? And all of them I can't, because I'm connected just about, I guess, to every nation in the world. And so I get, and some people don't like me talking about that, but I'm comfortable with this group. And so let me just say that I get prayer requests from all over the world. You know what I'd like to do with those? I'd like to print them and hand them to an intercessory prayer group. And say, this need came in Africa, they're having this problem. In Ghana, they're having an election of government officials, and they've got a bad leader in place, and the believers are trying to believe in somebody. And I had that prayer request, and I got it on my cell phone, and I prayed for them, and in about a week or two later, they called me, or they sent me a message back and said, everything went well in the election. And so, you know, but I'm telling you that we get prayer requests from all over the world, and sometimes they're almost too numerous to really address properly, so we need an intercessory prayer group. So it's a supportive ministry in the church. Now, like the word, worship and fellowship, intercession becomes an added backbone of the church. It's really important, and we're going to be working toward that. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to show you one other aspect about prayer, and then we're going to wrap this up. I'll show you some prayers that you can pray. Right, Ephesians 1 verse 15 and 16 says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints. How many of the saints should we love? How many know there's some saints we don't want to love sometimes? How many know there's probably been some saints in our lives we wanted to choke sometimes? How many know that you've seen a saint walking along the road and you wanted to swerve off the road with your car and, you know, Let's don't get carried away with this. The Bible says that someone heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus. Did it say that they heard of their faith in other people? No, they heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus. So we must keep our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He also said, I heard of your love for all the saints. Well, you say that doesn't fit us all the time. Well, it should fit us. It says, verse 16, do not cease to give thanks for you. He's saying, I heard this. They do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, Paul said. All right, so we ought to make mention of one another in our prayers. I'll tell you what you can do. Every morning, this is what I do. After I pray for healing and health, financial increase and prosperity, divine protection, divine favor. I pray Isaiah 54:17 every single day. Here's what I end my prayers with. I end my prayers with, Father, I pray for my wife. I say Faye. I pray for Faye. I pray for all of my family, for my friends, for our church congregation, and for my partners all over the world. You say, do you really have partners all over the world? A lot of people praying. But I'm not praying that because it's a fact now or not. I'm praying it because I'm believing God. Okay? And so I pray. And so I begin to do the same thing for those, all of those I just mentioned. I pray for healing and health. I pray for increase, for provision. I pray all that for them. So you say, well, how do you know who's all over the world? The Holy Spirit knows. And so he says that we do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So from this we see a connection between giving thanks and mentioning you in my prayers. And so that's a very important thing that we ought to see. Give thanks for God's people. You say, well, I don't always agree with God's people. Give thanks for God's people and make mention of them in your prayers. Now, we're going to look at three prayers real fast and close tonight. This first one, Ephesians 1, verse 17 through 22, is Paul prayed this prayer for the church at Ephesus. He prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, and in my notes I've got it highlighted, and I wish I'd have left it in yours, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's the first prayer you can pray. I pray for our pastor that you give him the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, of Jesus. I pray for Pastor Faye that you give her the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for the congregation that you assign here, Lord. I pray that you give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You can take that prayer right there. We just read one verse, and you can pray that for everybody in the whole world. Don't get up one morning and just say, okay, this is a blanket prayer for everybody. And 2 seconds later, you're done. That's not intercession. That's a cop-out. Huh? Okay, verse 18. We can also pray that the eyes of your understanding, and I crossed out understanding because in the original Greek it reads hearts, that the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And so you can pray. We know that our leaders are called, and we pray that their eyes, the eyes of their heart, be enlightened, be brightened, that they're able to see, that they may know what is the hope of their calling. He also said, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? This is a prayer being prayed. And what is the exceeding greatness of God's power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? And these can be written out with blanks and just different kinds of prayers, as you'll find in the book by the lady Copeland that wrote Prayers That Avail Much. Starts with a G. It's not Gloria. It's Germaine. Okay. Didn't want to say that because I didn't know if she's one of the Jackson 5 or not. Goes on, verse 20 says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he, Father God, put all things under Jesus' feet and gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. So this is a prayer that you can pray. So this is how important you are to God, contained in that verse. So he made provision for your future success in a prayer. All right? Now let's look at Ephesians 6, verse 18, where Paul gives instruction about prayer. He says, praying always with all prayer. So there's not just one kind of prayer. Praying always with all prayer. The Greek says worship. So praying always with all worship. So that makes more sense than praying with prayer. If I'm praying with prayer, shouldn't I have already been praying? But now I'm praying with prayer. How about praying with worship? That's how it's translated. And supplication in the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. So now he says we're to pray always with all worship and supplication. Supplication means what? Request. So with all worship and request in the Spirit. How do you pray in the Spirit? Praying in tongues. All right, he said, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So what you can do is you can pray about certain needs in intercessory prayer, and you can do it with all prayer, all worship and all requests in the Spirit, and then watch what God does. I think that's the short of what he's saying here. So why is praying in the Spirit important? He said, praying always with all worship and supplication in the Spirit. Because praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit hooks up with you and prays the will of God. All right, finally, Ephesians 6, verse 19 and 20, we're going to look at Paul's request for prayer about his own ministry. And I began to pray this over myself today, and I want to tell you that you can pray this over me and over Pastor Fay, and as we acquire other leaders, you can pray this over them. Paul prayed this, and for me. So you know that Paul's saying that about him. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, or it means I'm committed to it, that in it, the preaching of the gospel, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So how many know that preaching the gospel should be done boldly? The preaching of the gospel should not be some religious excuse for why God did what he did or why the scriptures say what they say. How many know that sometimes, I'll give you an example of that, sometimes people will say, the Bible says all those who live godly shall suffer persecution. Well, you ever been persecuted? We've been persecuted by people. People have bad-mouthed you before. We have persecution. How about this? The Bible says that in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. Now, some people stop with, in this world you'll have tribulation. But you ought to look up the word tribulation. It's persecution. The devil persecutes you, points the finger at you. The Bible said in Revelation, he is the accuser of the brethren. Well, having understood that, while I'm in this world, the devil's going to point the finger at me. And I guess I have to say with that, so what? I know the word. He said, but be of good cheer. So that means I'm not supposed to get depressed about it. The fact the devil's pointing the finger at me, I'm to be of good cheer. Not a little bit of cheer. Good cheer. You know, yay. Okay, that's cheer in some goofy form. But praise you, Jesus. Good cheer. Because Jesus already overcome the world. So the next time you feel like the finger's being pointed at you, you feel like you're being persecuted, you feel like there's some tribulation, some turbulence coming your way, here's what you ought to do. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer because Jesus already overcame the world. All right? And so you can pray that prayer about your pastor or whoever the speaker may be. And I have some lined up for this year. Already beginning to line up. You say, well, you know, shouldn't you not do that? No, we're a faith church, and they come in faith. They get what we believe for. But already got a man coming in. Well, it's not confirmed yet, but in March, and so things are starting to happen. All right. In conclusion, again, the statement that was made, prayer is simply communication between two people in love. I wanted to make a question out of this and say to you, if prayer is simply communication between two people in love, then I want to challenge you with this. Do you communicate with God daily? I want to tell you what I believe. The Bible says in the Old Testament, it says his mercies are new every morning. That means that every time I go to sleep, the mercies of God are being renewed in my life. And when I get up the next morning, I got fresh mercies. All right? If that's true, here's how I feel about it. If his mercies are new every morning, I mean, there's so many things about the morning dew mentioned in Scripture, which the dew often represents the anointing or the presence of God. And so there's just something about morning. I believe that one of the first things that ought to happen in our morning is we ought to communicate with God. Well, you just don't know how hectic my life is in the morning. Yeah, but God didn't do it. Jesus didn't do it. Communicate with God. You ever woke up and just said, "Hi, Jesus. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord." That's my thing. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for this day that you have made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. And I can promise you there's some days I don't feel like saying, "I choose to rejoice and be glad." So even if you don't feel like rejoicing and being glad, how many know you can make a faith statement and you can say, "I choose." It's a decision. Life is about choices. I choose to rejoice and be glad. If you love to talk to Jesus, talk to him. If you love Jesus, talk to him. If you're excited about that you're born again, talk to the Lord. Here's why it's so important. Because even if you ever feel like no one listens to anything you have to say. Anybody ever felt that way? Nobody listens to me. Nobody cares about it. Well, don't say that. Nobody cares about you because God cares about you. If you love Jesus, talk to him because he will listen because he cares about you. It's that simple. Amen? Did you get anything out of this?